World Football at AFCON with John Bennett.
Hello there, welcome to the show. After a day five at the tournament when Africa's 2022 World Cup heroes made their entrance into the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations, and Morocco lived up to their tag as one of the favourites, starting with a 3-0 win over underdogs Tanzania. We'll analyse whether their performance lived up to very high expectations. Plus, we'll review DR Congo against Zambia in the same group. It finished 1-1 despite one team dominating. The man who's with me is only just recovering from that game. And we'll look ahead to a thrilling day six, two matches between giants of football on the continent. Not only Ghana against Egypt, but also Ivory Coast against Nigeria. So we'll hear from a super eagle, Alex Iwobi. Former DR Congo captain Gabriel Zakwani is alongside me to go through it all. Hello, Gabby. Fresh from cheering on your team.
Yes, hello, John.
Before we get to the game, what sort of watcher are you? Do you hide behind the sofa? Do you shout at the TV? What's it like at your house?
Yeah, you have to put all the ornaments away because I'm heading and kicking everything. So, yeah, I'm that kind of watcher. I think I'm a Jurgen Klopp, I think.
I've got a feeling you would have been frustrated because this is what happened in the game. So it was two neighbours meeting, DR Congo against Zambia. Really entertaining 1-1 draw. DRC made a bright start, but it was Zambia who took the lead, and it was a comical goal, to be honest. The keeper came out of his box to clear a long ball, put it out for a throw, taken quickly to Kings Kangwa, who lobbed the goalkeeper. A defender close to the line should have cleared it, but completely messed it up. It went in. DR Congo hit back minutes later. Great work by Cedric Bakambu to set up Brentford's Johan Visser to equalise. DRC, better side second half. They were given a penalty for handball, but VAR reversed it. They had chance after chance after chance. And Gabby, they couldn't take their chances. DRC, you should have won that game.
Yes, I think you've summed it up perfectly well. I mean, should have won the game. We had chances to win two or three games. You know, we don't usually get that many clear-cut chances as we did today. But we just couldn't quite do it when it came to that last final part of the game. And, you know, I think it's frustrating because got a really tough game coming up, and you would have thought going into the next game out after picking up 3 points would have put you in better stead than where you wouldn't have to chase that win. So it just throws things in the air because it was quite a poor Zambia performance in my opinion compared to what I was expecting, but we will hopefully not have to make that game more costly than it was already. You know, I feel that it's 2 points dropped.
Do you want to hear the stats, or would that upset you even more?
Let's go. Go on. Guess
how many shots DR Congo had.
I'll be honest. It was definitely, it was 18, 19. It could have been.
Higher.
It was,
higher.
It was more. Yeah. It, you know.
25. 25. Oh, and Zambia had three. You had 56% possession. I thought you had more, looking at on site. Mm. But yeah, that is pretty remarkable, isn't it? How many shots you had compared to them? Why do you think that you weren't? Or I keep saying you. Why do you think DR Congo weren't finishing it? Because you got fantastic strikers there on the pitch. I mentioned Wissa, Bakambu as well. Really good strikers there. What was happening?
I really don't know. I don't know if it was nerves getting to the boys. I think sometimes when you come into a tournament, you need to, you know, see your way in first. And I think today was a missed opportunity because I did expect it to be a tough game. And probably before the game, a draw would have been further from what I may have thought would be the outcome. You know, I would have took maybe a 1-1 draw, thought, okay, that's a good start to the tournament. It's a good point. But now you look back and you think, you had so many chances, so much better on the day. And, you know, the only thing you can hope is that we take them same chances into the next game and hopefully, you know, we can put them away. But we should be on 3 points. You know, I can't, for the life of me, you know, explain what happened today in terms of chances and finishing.
Zambia will be delighted because that's a point to start their tournament. And, you know, they've got Tanzania in the group. They'll expect to win that game against Tanzania. That puts you on 4 points with the possibility of third place going through. That's almost like they're through. So I think Zambia under Avram Grant, they'll be pretty pleased with that. But what's it going to be like over the next few days with DR Congo? Will they dwell on that, the fact they missed all those chances?
I think the players, it depends on what the manager does. You know, the manager's not the type to dwell on things. He likes to look forward. And then I think the players will have to gain confidence somehow to be putting those sort of chances away. But against Morocco, you don't expect to get that many chances, not like today, you know, and that's the difference. When you get them chances, you have to put them away. Today was a chance to get the goal difference up, maybe, and to put a lot of chances away and to make really a stamp on this group. After, you know, after the qualifiers, we struggled at the beginning and then we came into it. Is it the same now in the tournament to struggle in the first game? Not really struggle, but the result, and then come into it in the next couple of games, it'll be tough because Morocco's next.
Yeah, before that, in the same group, you mentioned them, one of the favourites, Morocco, making their AFCON 2023 start after their amazing World Cup at the end of 2022. They have a refreshed squad, to be honest, because 11 players who are in Qatar, not called up to Ivory Coast, but it was a familiar starting 11 against Tanzania. The likes of Bono, Hakimi, Aged, Saïss, Amrabat, Unahi, Ziyech, En-Nesyri, so much quality. And they won 3-0 against the underdogs. Roman Saïss, first half, following up a Ziyech free kick, which was saved after 30 minutes. Second half, Tanzania had a man sent off with 20 minutes to go. The floodgates opened. Morocco's breakthrough star at the World Cup, Azzedine Unahi, made it 2-0. And then Youssef En-Nesyri made it 3 after a VAR check. He becomes the first Moroccan player to score in 4 Africa Cup of Nations finals. I was impressed actually by Morocco because I think it's going to be different for them compared to the World Cup. They're going to have a lot more of the ball. So I wanted to see how they were going to cope with that. In Qatar, they didn't mind the other team having the ball. What did you make of Morocco's performance?
Yeah, my thoughts exactly. I thought it would be different when you're expected to dominate the game. You know, in the World Cup, they played on a counter. They could play on the back foot and catch teams out. But now, teams will be waiting for them to come out. So it's a different approach, but I'm pretty sure they were ready for this. You know, they played under intense pressure in Qatar, and this is just the same. You know, they're carrying it on now, and they need to carry on because they're evolving. They're a team that you can see is evolving. Like you said, there's players missing from Qatar. They're changing slowly, but they've still got that core that did so well. And you could see that they knew each other so well, where they gelled very quickly, and they deserve to win from the off. But when the sending off made a big difference in terms of the scoreline, but they were in control throughout.
Afterwards, the Morocco head coach, Walid Regragui, said it was no easy game with the heat and humidity, but we did it in a calm and unhurried manner with the players applying themselves with patience. They played well. I'm happy with the result. Just to sum up the golf in class between Tanzania and Morocco, two players who play non-league football, Gabby, in England, started for Tanzania. I felt sorry for one of them. Did you see this? It was the midfielder who plays for Wealdstone. Oh, yeah. He was subbed first half. He struggled. That's going to be horrible, yeah, Isn't it? To get subbed off in the first half. Oh, dear.
I mean, he's going to be proud to be here, but I think that is, yeah, that's a low, you know, a big low when you get
managers don't like doing
half.
That, do they?
Nah, you're literally forced to, and he was struggling, to be fair, you know, and it's probably helped him out in some way, but he won't see that right now. He won't be happy with that.
Morocco, your pick as favourites. I went for Egypt. I'm not doing so well on the predictions front after my dark horse, South Africa, not winning. You still sticking by Morocco after that performance?
Yeah, I think your dark horse is tradition. They always struggle. But yeah, with Morocco, I mean, they're efficient and they get the job done. And today they showed that they can do it both ways. They can play on the counter, which we've seen, and they can also take it to team. So for me, I think they got all the tools there.
Let's look forward to the action on day 6. Cannot wait. I circled this day when the fixtures came out. In a moment, we'll look ahead to Ghana, Egypt, but let's preview Nigeria against the host Ivory Coast. So Nigeria started with a 1-1 draw to Equatorial Guinea. Ivory Coast beat Guinea-Bissau pretty comfortably 2-0. Pressure on the Super Eagles than you'd think. Here's Nigeria's Alex Iwobi.
Playing against the host country, I'm sure their fans are going to be on them, so yeah, we're all looking forward to it, all excited. They've got quality players as well. They had a great start. But we want to prove to them and prove to ourselves that we're able to beat the host nation. So hopefully we can do that. They've got a lot of attacking threat. But at the same time, so do we. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we don't give them much space like they were able to in the first game. But that's something for the manager to decide. But I'm sure we'll have a game plan and hopefully it'll be able to work. We believe we can go far, but at the same time, we have to prove it. And it starts with the next game. I'm not one to talk a lot. I just hope that we can act upon it and show that we're ready to win the competition.
People were raving about Ivory Coast after the first game. I wasn't that impressed. I mean, it was only against Guinea-Bissau, the victory. I saw weaknesses that a team maybe like Nigeria, with the threats they have going forward. We all know who they are. Victor Osimhen, Chukwueze, if he starts, Lookman. I think there is something there that Nigeria can exploit in that Ivory Coast defence.
Yes, you're right in some aspects, but I think you have to, like you mentioned, it was Guinea-Bissau, and they will take a bit more liberties, you know, against Guinea-Bissau and take it a little bit more lightly. I think Ivory Coast have all the tools to do well in this tournament. I think they won't make the same mistakes they made against Guinea-Bissau because they know they won't get away with it. With Nigeria, I think defensively they're not the best for me. I think that there's holes there for Ivory Coast to really exploit. So unless the attack where they focus so much on Victor Osimhen, if that doesn't work out, I can see Ivory Coast pipping them on this one.
You really think that? There's got to be a game, though, I think, when Victor Osimhen, he's had such a good last 12, 18 months. There's got to be a game where he really, really impresses. I know he scored in the first game, but he missed chances. I think there's going to be one game, and this might be the game for him.
Yeah, I think it's the game where he will want to, because it's a statement against the host nation, and he's in Africa, he's the face right now. It makes sense for him to really perform, but I think they'll have their eyes on him being the host nation as well. You'll double up on him, you'll do what you can to stop him, and I'm just not convinced by Nigeria's back line. I'm really not. You know, their goalkeeper as well, I'm not convinced by them at all. I think going forward, brilliant. But the other way, I'm just not sure.
Some Nigeria fans will agree with you, as we've heard on the voice notes over the last few days. Talking of voice notes, we're going to move on to Ghana against Egypt now. And world football at AFCON's George Addo is out in Ivory Coast with the Ghana team. And he sent us this voice note.
Yes, John, I think the Black Stars have a very slim chance of picking a result. The only good news for the Black Stars is since 1992, the Black Stars have not lost a second group game. That means that we have to expect a reaction from the Black Stars. Mohamed Kudus as well, who's been out injured, may play a part in the game. But I don't think that Mohamed Kudus is the one thing that will ensure that the Black Stars will beat Egypt, because you have to beat Egypt as a collective. The only hope too is that, well, we may want to run along with the fact that Minos, or when the game looks like an upstairs downstairs game, well, the underdog is able to find something. Aside that, it's a tough game, and I really don't think the Black Stars are going to get all 3 points, but let's see if they can prove us wrong.
Yeah, it's going to be so, so tough. What I was interested, though, about Egypt is that Mohamed Salah kind of played in a number 10 role in their first game, their 2-2 draw, disappointing 2-2 draw. Are you surprised that he's not being used in the same role that he plays so well for Liverpool? Why did they put him in a 10 role?
I think it was to maybe confuse the opposition. I think they probably thought it would be an easier game. I think, first of all, I think it wouldn't be as hard as it actually
Do you think he'll play 10 against Ghana then?
Or no.
You reckon he'll go back to the right-hand side?
Yeah, I think he'll go back to the right-hand side. I think they expected it to be an easier game, and he could really influence the game from the centre of the pitch. But I think with Ghana, they've got more cultured players. It'd be a tougher game. I think you play him in his best position, which we know it to be out wide, cutting inside, going on the outside and creating problems that way. I don't think it will. He'll have the same impact playing centrally. I think they'll muscle him out if he plays in the middle.
And do you think the Ghana players will be feeling the nerves here? There's been so much talk, so much noise around them. There'll be a bit of fear, won't there?
It's technically, there's not been one, but I think it's a must win.
I think it's the same.
You know, I think it's got that must win feeling in it. I think they need to get 3 points or put in a very, very good performance and get something out of the game to give themselves a chance. But I think they're really under pressure, because there was talk before the tournament. Fans weren't happy, even though they made it by the skin of their teeth. There was a feeling that they weren't confident, and now they're showing why the fans weren't confident, because they're not gelling as they should. And I think they need to go out there and try and get this win, because I think it could get very hairy for Chris Hughton if it's not.
Yeah, there is so much pressure on the players. You wonder how the players are going to cope with all those eyes on them, the scrutiny on them, the negativity that's been around them. But Mohamed Kudus will be back. We still don't know, as George was saying, whether he'll play a full part, but he will be back. Gabby, thanks very much. We'll speak to you next time on the show. Former Ghana striker Kwesi Appiah will be joining us too, so don't miss it. For more world football at AFCON, search on the BBC World Service website or BBC Sounds. Speak to you very soon.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.